Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We're going to continue right on in a message I've entitled The Cleansing of Our Blood. And I want to begin by rereading a scripture I shared on yesterday's broadcast from Isaiah, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. God is cleaning us up, beloved. He's cleansing His body, His church. How does He do that? These are His plans. He's washing away the filth, and He's purging the blood. Purging the blood of Jerusalem, of course, that's a city. He's referring to the inhabitants thereof. And as we looked yesterday, as we brought the broadcast to a close, that word judgment means justice or right or privilege. It's a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, but it's pronounced. And so that word, that spirit of judgment, it speaks. In other words, we command, just as God speaks His judgment, it says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints, and then we're to emulate that. It says in verse 30 of Psalm 37, verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. And so God wants us to command, to speak things into being. We are establishing the kingdom of God wherever we go. The literal kingdom will not come till Jesus comes, but the kingdom is within us, and by our words, by our actions. He says, furthermore, I put my words in thy mouth. This is Isaiah 51 and 16. I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heaven and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. And of course, he's not speaking of the present earth. He's speaking of that kingdom, which is, we're to pray, thy kingdom come, beloved. That won't come in perfection and fullness until the Lord Jesus returns to this earth. But he wants us, he's cleansing by the spirit of judgment, by the way we speak. We're aligning our tongues. Death and life is in the power of the tongue to speak the very will and word of God. Now, let's look at the spirit of burning. That means to kindle, to eat up, to set on fire. You've probably heard those expressions, let's get on fire for God. Well, we also know the Holy Ghost kindling will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. That which is not of value, the gold and the silver, only the precious things are going to remain. But the fire of God is going to burn up everything that does not glorify God. Death is swallowed up in victory. How do you eat up death? Well, with life. You swallow up death by pouring forth words of life. Isn't it interesting that when the Bible records what happens at the birth of the church, if you will, when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, they were all gathered in the upper room. How did he come? He appeared as a tongue of fire on the head of everyone who present. And because there was a spirit of burning that was needed. And I can remember years ago before I was filled with the Spirit, I actually felt like a burning on the top of my head. It was very unusual. Didn't last long, but that same kind of experience. And now, when Jesus was, if you will, baptized by the Holy Spirit, a flame of fire didn't come upon Jesus. Why? When John was baptizing him in the Jordan, the voice of the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as a dove. Why? Because Jesus didn't need anything kindled in him. Nothing had to be burned up. He was perfect and without sin. Oh, glory. Psalm 103:5 says, He satisfieth our mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The word says, praise is comely. It's pleasing. Praise is comely for the upright. It's fit. It's seemly. It's beautiful. Proverbs 8:6 says, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. And then, of course, in Ephesians 5th chapter, verses 25 through 27, of course, this is speaking of the church, Paul is saying that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, holy and without blemish. Praise God. And then there's another passage in 1 John 1, verse 7, that the Apostle Paul says, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he's not talking us about forgiveness, because if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's talking about the sin principle, which ultimately, when we're with the Lord, it's going to be completely removed from us. It was accomplished in completion at Calvary, but beloved, we have to appropriate it. We have to lay hold of it for ourselves. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, a familiar passage, I trust, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Beloved, under the old covenant, there were many laws pertaining to the sacrifices that were offered by the people to the Lord. And those sacrifices that were offered, beloved, they were dead. The blood had been spilled out. Why? The life was in the blood. And beloved, you know, I don't fully understand all of this. This is an obscure scripture that I'm sharing with you that was found in Joel, the 3rd chapter, which says, Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I, this is the Lord, will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. The Lord is cleansing our blood. He's cleansing us from all unrighteousness, because the life is in the blood. He's cleansing us from that sin principle which is in us. You know, I don't fully understand it, but there is a process that we are going through, beloved, that is thoroughly cleansing us, our bodies, our soul, our spirits. We are a tripartite being, made in the image of God, just like there's a tripartite being in the single Godhead. God is one. He's only one, but there are different persons. We may not understand the Trinity. I don't care how brilliant you are, we can't fully understand or grasp it, but we can relate to it because man is a tripartite being. Is that not that true? Body, soul, and spirit. Your body, soul, and spirit. You're all one. There's not two dozen of you. You're just one. And look what 2 Corinthians 7:1 says. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I believe this spirit of burning refers to this perfecting of holiness, which will even affect our physical bodies and bring us beyond the covenant promise of healing to walking in divine health. How much of this is needed today? I'm sharing these scriptures, so beloved, to provoke you to further study and the meditation. Let's share some more scriptures, fascinating scriptures on the blood. Joel 2:30 says, I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Did you ever wonder what that is talking about? Well, I suppose there could be many different interpretations, but one thing I do know, God's people are signs and wonders. We know from Isaiah, the 8th chapter, verse 18, this is the prophet Isaiah speaking. He says, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me, his children, are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth at Zion. So, beloved, our blood, we who are the people of the Lord, we are, Joel saying he'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, the blood, we are that sign to this generation. And why do we need our blood cleansed? Well, beloved, even the world says, blood that is sick has certain characteristics. There are some signs of aging. It becomes thick, dense blood that is, and blood that's heavy doesn't flow as easily, and it clogs arteries, causing forgetfulness, Alzheimer's, age-related diseases. Beloved, let me share something fascinating with you. I don't know if any of you have heard of John G. Lake. He was a powerful man of the Lord, used with in healing. He was in Africa, and he was praying for a man with a bone inflammation. And the scientists had powerful X-ray machines with a microscopic attachments attached to this man's leg. And listen to this, as John Lake laid his hands on the man's shin, he cursed the disease by the power of God. And scientists were absolutely astounded. They told him in astonishment that every cell in that man's leg was responding. As best as they could tell, they were witnessing some sort of recreative process that was taking place before their eyes under the microscope. Beloved, I don't know where I got this from, but there's a relation by a born-again spirit-filled hematologist. That's a scientist that studies the blood. Anyway, this born-again spirit-filled hematologist said he could tell by the study of one drop of blood whether a person was spirit-filled or not. He said there was a golden hue about that drop of blood that was not around other people's blood that were not saved or baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is that wild? I'm telling you, the Bible is absolutely confirmed by science. Those who are honest are finding that the truths that science is discovering totally affirms the Word of God. Well, beloved, there's more I'm going to share. I don't know about you, but I get excited about these kinds of things. Hallelujah! Science is confirming the mighty power of God. Bless the Lord. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. And beloved, we've got a lot to share on tomorrow's broadcast, so I hope you don't miss it. Be with me if you can at the same time. Otherwise, you can always tune into unveilchrist.org and click on the broadcast. There, archive there. For your convenience, you can listen at any time. Praise God. But in the moments that remain, I'm going to invite you to write, share those prayer needs. We all need the cleansing of our blood, and there's power in agreement, beloved. So won't you write, share those needs. The announcer is going to give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.